And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'd like to say hello to all the wonderful friends of the ministry that Juan and I met in West Virginia last week. We went there for a Restoring America's Heritage Conference, and I was privileged to be one of the speakers. It was sponsored by Pastor Butch Paul, who has a radio program, a very dedicated man to America and, of course, to God. There were about 8 or 10 speakers there, Nurse Joyce Riley, just a group of folks. Officer Jack McLam was there, and the place was packed out. There must have been about 400 people there. I'd say around 400. I didn't count them by hand, but I think 368 or something were officially registered. Over 400 people showed up in Summersville, West Virginia. We had a great time over a couple of days there, and what a beautiful state West Virginia is. We flew into one out of Columbus, Ohio, and then we drove down from Columbus, Ohio into West Virginia. And at a later time, I'm going to talk about what I saw there, because I think it has a lot to do with the economy of the United States. And boy, there's a lot of poor towns there. We always, when we drive down the back roads, you might say. We avoid the freeway, and we love to go on these country roads, and we just saw so many mining towns and people living in trailer homes, you know, mobile homes that were 50 years old and looked like they were decaying, and even the small frame homes, they were so close to the highway that if you lost control of your car, you'd be in somebody's living room in about a minute, or a moment, I should say. A lot of very poor, poverty-stricken people. But very proud, good people, seem to be hardworking folks, and I really appreciated meeting everybody. People came from every state, by the way, to this conference, from Vermont, up in New England, Massachusetts, New York State, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Ohio. So we just had a great time, and I look forward to meeting everybody who's a lover of truth and a follower of Power of Prophecy Ministry. So, again, thank you, Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul, for inviting me to come and speak to the group. And we had a wonderful time. Now, today I would like to talk to you about some secrets, unheralded secrets of Judaism and Freemasonry. And this is Volume 2. Volume 2. Of Unheralded Secrets of Judaism and Freemasonry. Now, I'm continuing this insightful series because I want you to understand the connection of the polluted religion called Judaism, which Jesus said is of the devil. Yes, that's right. Jesus said Judaism is of the devil. He said that the Jews had for their religion the traditions of men, because they had already abandoned the Old Testament. They had already abandoned the religion of Moses, of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, of Nathan, and all the prophets. They had gone into apostasy especially during the captivity in Babylon. And they believed in something called the Babylonian Talmud, which to this very day, Orthodox Judaism is based on the Babylonian Talmud. So their religion hasn't changed. Judaism is a religion of the devil. It is not, I repeat, it is not a religion of the Old Testament. If it were, then the Jews would believe in Jesus, because Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. If you believe in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, Daniel, and the others, you'd believe in Jesus. That's why in the book of Revelation, it warns of those who say they are Jews, but are not, and are the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Jews. Oh yeah, we're of the house of Israel. If they really were, they would believe in Jesus. But instead, they're of the synagogue of Satan. I want to talk about some of the things that, how Judaism is related to Freemasonry. Now, in the last volume in this series, I quoted Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason, sovereign grand commander of all Scottish Rite Masons, and author of the incredible book, Morals and Dogma of the Scottish Rite, which is considered the daily guidebook according to the current day sovereign grand commander of Freemasonry. Pike has gone on to be with his rewarder, I should say, if you know what I mean, as a devil man. But Pike wrote this book, Morals and Dogma, and I have another book, and I have it right in my hands today, and it is entitled, it's by Albert Pike, it's entitled Magnum Opus, or The Great Work. Magnum Opus. The very words in Latin, Magnum Opus, means the great work. The great work of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. This book is a huge book, very rare book, it's hard to get. I've studied it thoroughly, and it explains and has a lecture for each of the 33 degree rituals of Freemasonry. Now, Albert Pike adopted the 33 degree rituals that existed and embellished them, let's say, added to them. And ever since that day, with very minor changes, these are the teachings, the lectures, and the belief system and what goes on in the ritual for each of the 33 degrees of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, which is the largest and most powerful secret society in the world. The largest Freemasonry group. There are others. There's the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem. There's the Grand Orient Lodge of France. There's the United Lodge of Great Britain. But this is the largest in the world, and I believe the most powerful. And if it were not for the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem and the Grand Orient of France, I would say it's also the most satanic. But how do you grade something? How do you say, well, they're satanic, but this one is more satanic than the other ones? I mean, if you're satanic, you're satanic. In my view, there is no light in the devil. Now, here's some of the things we're going to look at today, this edition. Because we're going to have four or five volumes before we're through of the unheralded secrets of Judaism and Freemasonry. And Pike says in his book, Morals and Dogma, that all of the rituals of Freemasonry are based on the Jewish religion. And in fact, he says the Jewish Kabbalah, that's the system of magic and sorcery practiced by Jewish rabbis to this day, he says that the whole foundation and everything about Freemasonry comes from the Jews. Ah, yes. Thus, we understand why Freemasonry is affiliated and is part of the synagogue of Satan. You say, well, Tex, I had a brother, I had a father, I had a cousin, I have a friend. They're Masons. They're not Jews. I never said they were Jews. I said they were Satanists, maybe without knowing it. There are people who do terrible things and are so stupid. Jesus said in the last days they would even kill good people and think they're doing God a service. They join a Masonic hall, which is full of the devil, and think that they're serving some god. Well, they are serving a god, but not the god. Here's something we're going to learn today. You'll see the connections between Judaism and Freemasonry. For example, the Masonic Lodge teaches that there is a lost word. It's the hidden name of God. It was once known to the ancient patriarchs of Israel. What is this word? You remember that Moses was told by God, just call me I am. I am the great I am. But the Masons say, well, we know the real name of God. And it's not I am. We know the real name. And if you become a Mason, they promise to teach you the name. And you go through a number of degrees. But finally, in the Royal Arch, you learn the name. The lost name. It's been lost to the world. It's been lost to people of religion. They don't understand the name. But the Masons say, we know the lost word. The name of God. We'll discuss that today. It's an important topic. They say the lost word of God has magical power. And if you're able to pronounce the name, no one pronounced the name, you can create your own world. You can be a God yourself. That's what this is, magnum opus of the great work. They teach you slowly how to be your own God. They're the God makers. They make you into a God. You become a God. Through ritual, through practice of the great work. By the way, the double-headed eagle is the symbol on the front cover of this. That symbolizes their great work. That is the logo or symbol of the 33rd degree, the highest level of Freemasonry. Now, we're going to talk about this lost word. Is that true? If you only know the lost word, the lost name of God that has been lost through the ages, but the masters know it. The highest level rabbis say they know it. The highest level Masons say, we know it, and when we pronounce it, it creates such a magical supernatural effect. We can do great acts of magic. We can move mountains. We can smash stars apart. We can collapse financial systems. We can create as God is creator. We too can be God. Now, we're also going to look at some claims by Freemasonry that Moses and Joseph, you know, the Moses and Joseph from the Bible, from the Old Testament, were once initiated into the Egyptian mysteries. That's why they were such powerful prophets and men of God, were able to see visions. They were initiates of the Egyptian mystery religion. That's the claim of Freemason, the lodge. And then there's a symbol that everybody has asked me about. The point within the circle. What is the meaning of that? We'll talk about that. What does it signify for the Masonic Lodge? You'll see it in the most unlikely places. Some say the Target department stores. That symbol. The bullseye, I call it, in red, is the circle and the point within it of Freemasonry. What is that all about? Also, Mr. Pike, in his book, Magnum Opus, or The Great Work, remember, this is the official textbook of the Masonic Rite, and therefore, of Judaism. He says that the Jewish religion, and therefore Masonry, originated from Gnosticism. Gnosticism. We'll talk about that. Hey, is there a father and a mother God in Freemasonry? Is there a mother in heaven or a mother in somewhere out in space that is our deity to be worshipped? Should we worship both father and mother? Does Judaism also recognize the mother principle? Say no, Tex, because the Jews only pray to the Father in heaven. Are you sure? Are you quite sure the Jews do not worship a goddess in secret? We'll find out about the Masons and the Jews. Then, I hope we get to it, in the 17th degree of Freemasonry, that degree title is Knights of East and West. You become a Knight of East and West if you proceed and receive the 17th degree. Here's a question for you. I hope we get an answer to today. Why do Masons use human skulls and bones in their initiations? What's that all about? Human skulls. Buddha. Now, you wouldn't think that the Masons honor and revere Buddha of Buddhism. But if you say no, you might be surprised. You might be surprised. Hey, what do Masons say the cross stands for? We know what the cross is. Jesus went to the cross, volunteered his life for us, and was resurrected and is with the Father in heaven today. But what do the Masons say about the cross? Do they honor it as that place where Jesus laid down his life? Or do they ascribe some mystery religious mumbo jumbo to the cross, to that symbol? Then finally, does the lodge have more than one Messiah that it worships? Do the Masons actually worship a number of Christ figures? We will see to that too as well. Well, we start off in the book Magnum Opus, or The Great Work by Albert Pike. And we look at what they say in the fourth degree of Freemasonry about three great men of the Bible: Solomon, Moses, and Joseph. Now, it says here that Solomon, King Solomon, was a great friend of Hiram from Phoenicia, who was the son of a widow of the tribe of Dan. I wish I had more to talk about there. It's a very interesting thing, but Hiram is sort of a Christ type for the Masons. Hiram Abiff, they call him. And he was slain. He is slain in their ritual. Being slain, he becomes a Christ figure upon resurrection of the Mason. Now, it says here in the book by Pike that King Solomon formed an alliance with the king of Phoenicia and with the king of Tyre. Now, it's interesting because it says here that in forming this relationship with the king of Tyre, he no doubt followed the religion of the king of Tyre. They had a close alliance, the king of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. Well, that kingdom is mentioned in the Bible. And the king of Tyre is literally called Lucifer. This is a code name for Lucifer then. Solomon became a pal and an associate of Lucifer. You can read about that in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Now, not only that, but Solomon even gave the king of Tyre certain cities in Palestine. Just gave it to him and addressed the king of Tyre as his brother. So Solomon was the brother of Lucifer, according to the Masons. Now, what about Moses and Joseph? Well, it says here that Moses married the daughter of the Egyptian god Ra, who was the daughter of Jethro, a pagan priest of Midian. So, it says here also, let me just read it to you. Moses and Joseph, having been initiated into the Egyptian mysteries, there can also be no doubt that Solomon was required to receive such initiation before he could intermarry with a daughter of the king of Egypt. These mysteries of Egypt had spread into Syria and Phoenicia and were known, of course, to the king of Israel, Solomon, his nobles and favorite. And teaching there, as in Palestine, the doctrine of one God, of whom all the host of pagan deities were but the images and emblems, they, that is Solomon and King Tyre, his brother, united the Jews to the Phoenician initiates in bonds of harmony and union that were not broken for many years. Ah, yes. In other words, Solomon and Lucifer united the Jews to the pagan religions of the East that came out of Egypt, the Egypt mystery religions. And according to the Masons, Moses and Joseph also were initiates of the Egyptian mystery religions. Now, friends, what are the implications for today? Could it be that deep within the bowels of the rabbinical system of Judaism today, the highest level rabbis keep a great secret? Do the Rothschilds of the Rothschild dynasty know this great secret? Is not the secret that Solomon, according to them, was the brother of Lucifer, and that the Jews were united to Lucifer's religion by way of their honoring and being initiated into the Egyptian mysteries? Of course this is true. And of course it's why you have the pyramid of Egypt and the all-seeing eye of the Egyptian sun god on our $1 bills and the Latin inscription below, Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new world order. It comes from Egypt. It is why the Rothschilds do not worship the God of the Old Testament, but worship the God of Solomon, Lucifer. And the false claim is that Moses and Joseph also worshiped Lucifer. You say, well, did they actually call him Lucifer? No. See, it says here that this doctrine of one God, meaning of Lucifer, was one in which all, quote, all the host of pagan deities were but images and emblems. In other words, whatever God they worshiped, whether it was Amon, Horus, Osiris, Nimrod, whatever God, Mercury, it didn't matter, Saturn, they were all one and the same God. This is why, dear friends, at a higher level ritual in Freemasonry, the Masons are taught that the gods of India and the Hindus are the same as the gods worshipped by the Masons. And it is even claimed that the true Christian God is the same God. Don't you know this is why the Pope of Rome has said that the Hindus do not need Jesus? They have their own gods. It is why the New World Order pushes for a one world religion in which we must say very meekly, and very politically correctly, that yes, everyone worships the same God, but under another name. You can worship him as Allah. You can worship him as Yahweh or Jesus. It doesn't matter. You can worship him as Zoroaster, the Persian fire god. You can worship him as Krishna or Buddha. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you something, my friends. Jesus said it does matter. Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am He, God, you will die in your sins. What is the name of God? It's Jesus. He is the very word of God, the Bible says. He is the great I am. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You cannot separate the three. There are three indeed, the Bible says. And 1 John, but these three are one. There is, as the Masons teach, one God. One God. But his name is not Krishna or Allah or any other name, but Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there is no historical record whatsoever. And certainly nothing in the Old Testament or the New Testament that indicates that according, as the Masons said, that Moses and Joseph were initiated into the Egyptian mysteries. This is pure hash. This is pure nonsense. But you see, this gives then the Freemasons of today what they believe is the authority to issue a doctrine, which is that all higher level Masons and Jews of the Judaic religion must worship according to the dictates of the Egyptian mystery religion. And it tells you, then it explains to you why God says in the New Testament, come out of her, my people. Come out of Egypt. God calls us out of Egypt. But God warns in the book of Revelation that this great city earthly city of Jerusalem, not the heavenly city, but the earthly city that exists now over in the nation of Israel and Palestine, Jerusalem. That city spiritually is called, in the book of Revelation, Sodom and Egypt. They have brought Egypt to Jerusalem on planet Earth. The Rothschilds have made of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel Egypt. It's the new little Egypt. And it's a whore. In the great world exhibition held in Chicago, way back in time in 1893, there was a Chicago World's Fair and exhibition. It was one of the greatest World's Fairs ever held. And they had a carnival attached to it. And as was the custom those times, even though America seemed to be crowded with churches, even fundamentalist churches, they had what they call the hoochie coochie dancers. The girls that would come out in their very sparse and meager clothing and do the hoochie coochie dances and invite the men in. I remember when I was a kid, we would just go to the world, the regular fairs. And off to the side, they would have this hoochie coochie show. And my dad and mom said, no, we're not going over there. We'll stay away from that. They actually had women, I guess, stripping. Same as strip clubs today. Now, they didn't do as much as they do in these strip clubs today. But they would, you know, probably get down to what we would call it a bikini level. But they would call them hoochie coochie dancers. I don't know why. I'm sure there's a reason. But in any case, in the 1893 World's Fair, one of them became very famous because she came out dressed like an Egyptian dancer. And she was given a name, Little Egypt. There was even a song some years ago. It was a, you know, chart-topping song. It says, Little Egypt came out strutting, wearing nothing but a button and a bow. Well, Little Egypt, appropriately named the whore of Babylon or Egypt, because Egypt is Babylon, and Egypt and Babylon are Jerusalem. Because Jesus said in Matthew 23, behold, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate until the Son of Man returns. Desolate, Sodom and Egypt. No spiritual value. Why? Because the Jews, in their Jewish religion, which they hide from the Gentiles, at the highest level, the Rothschilds, the Bronfmans, and the others, I am convinced, worship the Egyptian mysteries. Now, let's continue on in our study because we have so much more here. And this gets so very just exciting. Let's see some more eras of Freemasonry. We get back to this lost word. It says here in the book Magnum Opus, or The Great Work by Pike, that they quote Philo, who was a Greek Jew from Alexandria, Egypt. Again, we get the Egyptian philosopher, but he claimed to be a Christian. That to Philo, the supreme being, this lost word, was the primitive light, or the archetype of light, the source of rays that emanate from the sun and illuminate souls. The Illuminati, God, is this architect of light. We're going to talk more about this architect, the great architect of the universe, our grand architect, as he's called in Freemasonry. The lost word. What is the name of God? Does it have magical powers? When we return, right here, on Power of Prophecy. Do you know who the gods of the lodge really are? Well, Reginald Bubba Haupt, an attorney from, I believe, Alabama, isn't he? Georgia. Okay. I'm sorry, Savannah, in fact. Now I recall. Savannah, Georgia. I've spoken to him a number of times. Attorney from Savannah, Georgia. Reggie, they just call him Bubba down there. Hop, or Hope, it's pronounced in German, has written a tremendous book entitled The Gods of the Lodge. We're offering it for only $15, and I'm telling you, friends, it takes you through all the gods of the Masonic Lodge from their own literature. Even has pictures of their false gods. And any Mason who says, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, yeah, you can just laugh your head off because you'll know who the real gods are. The Gods of the Lodge by Bubba Haupt, H-A-U-P-T. Just ask for the book, The Gods of the Lodge. Now, we're asking only $15 for this book. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $20 for the book, Gods of the Lodge by Reggie Bubba Haupt, H-A-U-P-T. Gods of the Lodge. Send us a check or money order or cash for $20. That'll take care of the postage and the shipping. $20 postpaid for the book, Gods of the Lodge. You can order it by writing to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go on powerofprophecy.com. And you'll see Gods of the Lodge. We have a little search engine in there. And type in the words, the keywords, Gods of the Lodge. And it'll come up with a book. And you can order it there through your PayPal, your charge card, or whatever, on powerofprophecy.com. You can also phone us. See, we have three ways to order. Phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Now, that's Central Standard Time in the United States of America, 8 to 5:30. Phone us and ask for the book, Gods of the Lodge. Again, our phone number, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Now, I want to talk to you personally about something before we go on with our program. We've been having some unexpected expenses. And, you know, I never beg for money around here. I never plead with you. I don't spend a lot of time asking for money. I always have a book or a tape or video to offer, but we never beg for money. But I believe it is a godly thing to ask fellow Christians when you're in need. And I'll tell you, we really are in need. Our expenses have really been tremendous recently. And let me just tell you a little bit about them. For one thing, many of you know Jerry. When you call up and you get Jerry to place an order, well, He does a lot of things. He takes care of our internet web pages, takes care of our mailing list. He makes sure you get your newsletter. And he helps me with this program. He's a producer of this program. He's sort of a Johnny of all things here, but his name is Jerry, of course. A great man. Been with us many years. We're so proud of Jerry and his work. Well, I'll tell you, we had to get him a new computer. The old one was pretty well shot. We needed more power. And that was a big expense to get the computer and the software and such. And then, lo and behold, we're having a big drought down here in Texas. In fact, they say this is the driest period in the history that's recorded the weather. And it's now, they say it equals the 1920s and the big dust bowl of the 1930s. I mean, it is dry, dry, dry. And I think we've had 55 days this summer of 100 degrees or more temperature in Texas. So it's hot, it's dry, and guess what? Well, our water ran out. We're sort of out in the country because it's cheaper real estate out here, and we have a water well that when we pump it up. Well, guess what? We come in one day, and the commodes wouldn't flush, and there's no water to be had. So we had to get the old water well people. They had to drill another 15 or 20 feet down. They were already at about 400 feet, I think, weren't they, Jerry? Something like that. So I think we're down out of 430 feet or something. That's a long ways down. Can you imagine? That's more than a football field. Jerry understands that because he's also a high school football referee locally. He knows about football fields and about yardage and penalizing. Oh, he's a penalizer. He's that guy you holler at. Boo, he's the referee. Nah, they probably like him. He probably does a great job. But anyway, I've seen him myself out there on the field working in his referee uniform. Oh, I tell you. Well, in any case, Folks, we need some help. That alone costs us over $1,500 just to drill the well. And then the computer, probably a couple thousand. And I tell you, expenses have just been tremendous. We put out a catalog, as you know, and that costs us many thousands of dollars. We have a new video coming up. And man, it's called Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama, and the Hidden Cabal Behind the Plot to Murder America. You can order it now. We're going to ship it out of here September 1st. You can be one of the first ones to get this. We're going to have it in here, I'm sure, on September the 1st. We're going to have a big shipping day. And everybody who orders it now, we're going to ship it to them. So if you want one of the first copies, this 90-minute video called Rothschild's Choice, which is about Barack Obama and the hidden cabal, that's the hidden conspiracy behind the plot to murder America. For $25, you can have this over 90 minute video. And our problem is that we have to get a bunch of copies printed up, made, manufactured before we start selling them, obviously. And that costs a lot of money. We have just big expenses there. Now, folks, if you can afford to give us an extra love gift, we would so much appreciate it. And if you want to designate it and say, Tex, want this to go toward the expenses of Jerry's new computer system, great. We'll make sure. And if you would like to help us pay for the extension of the water well, we'd appreciate your help there too. And listen, friends, I want to tell you something. This ministry, I feel, belongs to you. And a lot of people say, well, Tex, you know, you're the president of the ministry. I work for you. Friends, I work for you. I have two bosses. One is God. Now, I got to do what he tells me to do. And after that, though, I want to serve you. And you know that's true. If you've met Tex and Wanda Mars, you know that we're servants of God. We serve you. So you're helping God, you're helping Tex Mars, and you're helping yourself. I believe when you give to God's work, you are giving to yourself. God is a rewarder. Are you going to get a fur coat for this? Are you going to get a better job, a Cadillac, a Lexus? Maybe, I don't know. But you know what? It might just be contentment of the soul. It might be happiness. It might be answered prayers. I don't know how God's going to reward you. I never say he rewards money for money. That would be false. That would not be true. But he might. He might reward you with more love for your family. Maybe more knowledge. I know it is true, though. And it's been said so often that people think it's a cliche. But it's true. You cannot outgive God. You can't. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're faithful to God and you end up in a prison cell, you are going to be happy and content in that prison cell. That's an amazing thing. You say that cannot be true. Well, I'm just telling you the facts. The Apostle Paul said that he was contented whatever place or whatever his condition. And he was in a wet, dank, probably a hideous prison cell. The Apostle Paul was in a prison cell. He didn't deserve to be there. And he said, I'm content. Let me tell you why, friends. When you're there in that prison cell, there's someone with you. The guards can't see him. The warden knows not of his presence, perhaps. His name is Jesus Christ. And he will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's what he promised us. I believe that. So if you can give to this great cause, I would appreciate it. It helps us, restores our faith a lot in human beings that love God, to know that you love this ministry enough. And remember, again, if it weren't for Power of Prophecy Ministry, think of all of the things that would not get out to the whole world. We have websites. We have catalogs. We have a radio program that's heard around the world. We put out videos and CDs and books. And many of these books are unavailable anywhere else. You know that, friends. Imagine if it weren't for your support of Power of Prophecy Ministries, a video entitled Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama, and the Hidden Cabal Behind the Plot to Murder America. Who else would have the guts and the courage to publish a video like that? You know the answer, no one. Because I'm telling you, you're risking your life when you do a video like that. We know we take great risk. But on the other hand, I believe God keeps me in the hollow of his hand. I'm going to do what he says. If he says put out that video, I'm going to put it out. If someone threatens me, I'm still going to do it. But I have a big father. He's going to take care of me. We're your agent. We're your servant. We're your brother and sister here at Power Prophecy Ministries. Would you help us? Would you help the family of God? We thank you so much for your kindness. And if you cannot afford, maybe you're out of a job. Maybe you're on Social Security. You can't give. I know one thing you can do. You can bow your head and pray for us. that God will continue to bless and look over and protect this ministry. And I think that's a very powerful thing. Maybe you can write to me. Drop me a note and say, Tex, we're praying for you. We love you. And if you're able to include a love gift, put that in the envelope too. If you're not, just say, Tex, I'm not able to give now. But I want you to know how much we're praying for you. I read every letter that comes in. It'll mean a lot to me. And listen to me, friends. I don't distinguish between givers. You know, I don't love the man that gives $1,000 more than the lady that gives 50 cents or nothing. We don't make distinguishing calls around here. Give as you can. We'll love you anyway. Now let's go on to our regular program. We're looking at the unheralded secrets of Judaism and Freemasonry. Now, this lost word of God, the word of God, the name of God is lost. Well, who is God then? Well, we've already learned in Freemasonry that all of the gods, all the symbols, all of the images are all the same. It doesn't matter what name by which you worship God. And yet Masons claim that they will teach you through their ritual ceremonies. Eventually you will discover the hidden name, the lost word of God. And if you use it and even echo it, utter it with your mouth, you can create new worlds. They say God created the universe with his word. Well, that is true. He did. In that sense, the Masons tell the truth. God did create the universe with his word. But I don't think you're going to be able to create the universe with your word. Do you know why? Because you're not God. But wait, what does Masonry teach? Well, first of all, I want you to understand that in the first three degrees of Freemasonry, even the first three degrees, which are called the Blue Lodge, the first three degrees, the third degree, of course, is the Master Mason degree. You're taught in the first three degrees that the substitute name for God, they're not ready to tell you the lost word, the lost name, but they give you a substitute. They whisper in your ear and they say, the substitute word for God is Mahabon, Mahabon, M-A-H-A-B-O-N-E. Now you stick with Freemasonry, they tell you, you see, and later on you'll learn the real word. For now, you can just use the word Mahabon. By the way, if you ask a Freemason, what does the word Mahabon mean? He'll probably turn pale. Might even faint, might leave the room. If he has all his wits about him, he'll say, oh, I don't know, I've never heard that word. And, of course, if he's at least third-degree Mason, he will be a liar. So that's the way that, but most of them are liars, so, you know, don't be surprised. Now, I've read entirely this book, and it's probably around 500 pages long, Magnum Opus, or The Great Work by Pike. And just as expected, they really don't tell you the lost word. They promise it. Now, in the Royal Arch degree, they come out and they finally say, okay, here it is. It's Jabulon. Jabulon. Some call it Jabulon. J-A-H-B-U-L-O-N. And they teach you that it's a composite word. A composite word. So the name of God, they say, means Jah or Yah, or which means Yahweh or Jehovah. Then the bull means Baal, the great fire god of the Canaanites. And then they have the third syllable is On, O-N. And On was the name of one of the names of the supreme god of Egypt. In fact, there was a city named it for him, On, in Egypt. Now, you have it. The lost word, Jabulon, the hidden name of God. But then as you continue through Freemasonry, they say, guess what? You know that word, Jabulon? It's just a substitute too. Later on, we'll tell you the real name. You see how they hoodwink the Mason and lead him along. But as you're reading through their in this book, which teaches all of the lectures and rituals and knowledge you need up to the 33rd degree, you get all kind of names. Here's one. It says, Amun, A-M-U-N, at first, I'm reading now from the book, at first the god of Lower Egypt only, where Moses was reared, was the supreme god. Oh, it's the Egyptian god Amun. That's the supreme God. That's the lost word. It says, he was styled the celestial Lord who sheds light on hidden things. He was the source of that divine life, the source of all power. He united all the attributes that the ancient Oriental theosophy assigned as a supreme being. He was the fullness of things. Everything emanated from him, and all the other gods were but manifestations. Amon, the great god of Egypt, is the god. Oh, wait. There's more. There's more. Because the very next page says, the lion was the symbol of Atum-Re, the great god of Upper Egypt, known as the hawk of Ra, or Frey, the eagle of Mendes, the bull of Aras. So he had many names, many symbols. So it's not Amun after all, it's Atum. Well, all right. Okay. But didn't they worship Osiris and his son Horus? Well, yeah. And in fact, on the very next page, they say the supreme god was Mithras, the Roman sun god, who was also worshipped by the Persians as one of the great, or the great fire god. Mithras is the chief. He created the 28 other gods, it says here. Really? Now, is it Amon? Is it Atum? Or is it Mithras? And as you go through all these degrees, they keep changing the names of the gods. But remember the principle of Freemasonry is that their God is all the gods. All the gods are but emanations or manifestations of the one God, whom they call the grand architect of the universe. Well, will you ever know his name? Will you ever know? Oh, yes, you'll learn. You'll learn who is behind all of the false gods of the pagans. You'll learn his name. In fact, it's in Isaiah 14, verse 12. The Bible tells you his name. It's Lucifer. Lucifer. Now, here's interesting. But to deceive these poor Masons, they keep hiding even that. Until the bitter end, until the last of the book, until you find something very interesting. It says that this God is the firstborn. The firstborn. Well, you know, in the Bible it says Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Oh, are they talking about Jesus there? It says he is the firstborn. The God of Freemasonry, the grand architect, is the firstborn. Oh, Jesus! No, whoa. Because the very next line says, behold again the word of Masonry, the man on the tracing board of this degree. That's the 17th degree, by the way. The light toward which all Masons travel. The tracing board is an individual thing for the Mason. It's the journey or path to Godhood. It's the great work by which they travel. This is the word of Masonry then. It is that man is his own God. He travels the path till he discovers his Godhood. And he becomes one with the light. He is the light. He is God. And all of the universe is God. All of everything is God. Because God is the God of forces. The energy force. Manly P. Hall explained this in The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, his classic book. He says when the Mason has grasped on to this, that there's this energy current in the world, and it's a living dynamo of power, he becomes full of supernatural magic and power himself. He becomes God. Now you have the lost word. Throughout Freemasonry, you're taught that this God or this God was the chief God, the highest God, the God of Upper Egypt or Lower Egypt or whatever, or of Persia, or of Babylon? Finally, they say, but all these gods are manifestations of the one God who's the God of forces. And you are his embodiment. You are God. It's pretty flattering. No wonder it says in the book of Daniel that this great Antichrist in the last days will win his kingdom through flattery. Tell a man he's a god. Makes him feel pretty big. That's the word. That's the word of Freemasonry. Now let's learn some other things about Freemasons. It says in here that the Jewish religion says the Jews of Syria and Judea were the direct precursors of Gnosticism, and in their doctrines were apple oriental elements. The Jews were the true Gnostics. And what do the Gnostics teach? That there were only two elements in the world, spirit and matter. And if you were of the spirit, then you were God. If you are of the matter, you're of the flesh. Can you be a combination of spirit and matter? Yes. But the Jews strive to be the spirit. Of course, even the Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. But you need salvation through Jesus Christ. But they reject and despise Christ. Because through the great work, the Jews and the Masons believe they can become their own God. And why shouldn't they? In their own minds. And now you understand Jesus' parable. The nobleman, the king, he gave them a country, a place to keep up. They were the husbandmen. They were like farmers. He gave it to them. He built a great tower to defend them. He went off into a far country. And then he sent his servants, that's the prophets, teachers of the Old Testament and the New, to collect tribute. And did they not owe it? Everything they had was given them by this king who had gone off to a far country. And they killed the servants of the king. And they said, why should we pay you anything? We'll keep this land for ourselves. We'll have the kingdom for ourselves. And then he sent more servants to collect from them the tribute due him as the nobleman. But the people, the husbandmen of this great paradise he had given them, this nation of Israel, they said, why should we give anything? Let's kill them too. And they did. They persecuted and killed the servants once again. And finally, the king or the nobleman said, alas, they have killed all of my servants. I'll send them my son, my own son. Surely they will revere him. Surely they will honor him. Surely they will give the tribute due me if I send my own son to collect what's mine. So he sent his son. But the people of that land, in other words, of Israel, they conspired together and they said, why should we give to the son of the nobleman? He's the heir. Let's kill him. Let's take and kill him. And then the kingdom will be ours. We will become the heir. It'll all be ours. That's what the Masons say. That's what the Jews say. Kill the son. And they did. But there was one problem they didn't count on. He rose from the grave. He rose from the dead. He is alive. And now, Jesus said to his disciples in his parable, what will the nobleman, the king, do when he returns? And his disciples answered unto him, and the people answered, and they said, surely he, the king, the nobleman, will kill those miserable people. They killed his servants. They killed his own son. After everything he had done for them, they look what they did. And they have attempted to seize the kingdom for themselves and become the heirs of the kingdom after killing the son. Those are miserable people. And Jesus said, you are correct. He will slay them all. Listen, Mason. Listen, Jew. In your religion, you have the same elements. Deviltry. You made a mistake of thinking that you can become God. You can have the kingdom of yourself for yourself. But you cannot. Now, I wish I had more time here. Is God in Freemasonry both father and mother? Yes, that's what it says in here. There is a father and a mother in magnum opus or the great work. And indeed, if they have the mysteries of Egypt, the mystery religion of Egypt, they would, because they worship the goddess there. They worship the goddess Isis and Nut and by many other names in Egypt. So yes, there is a father and a mother. But does Judaism recognize the mother principle? Yes, the Jews say in their highest doctrines that the mother is the Jews. They are the bride of God. They are the mother. Wow. And the mother and the father are one, and thus they are God. Mother and father. A lot of people don't know that. They have a term for it. They call it the Shekinah, the glory of God. It's the mother, matriarchal. Why do Masons use the human skull in their initiations? Well, it's a sign of death, and they're a society of death. By the way, would you like to know what the sacred word of Freemasonry is? You've learned about the lost word. They have a sacred word. Sacred means holy. And their sacred word is Abaddon. Read about Abaddon in the book of Revelation. It's a synonym for the devil or Lucifer. Abaddon. He comes from the pit of hell. Read about it in the book of Revelation. And finally, did Albert Pike and do the Masons teach that Buddha was the first Masonic legislator? Yes, they do. He made up the rules for Masons. That's what they claim. They even claim that Buddha was a Mason himself. Buddha was a Freemason. Finally, what is the meaning given to Masons of the cross? Well, the cross. What does it mean in Freemasonry? It's the cross of Egypt. It's the cross of reincarnation. It's the cross of eternal life. The crux ansata. That's the cross of Freemasonry. In the great work, they deny the cross of Jesus, and they say this came from the pagan religions. Finally, I ask you this question. How many Christs and Messiahs does the lodge recognize? Well, many. If you can become your own God, then you're collectively Christ. You're collectively Messiah. They say we are the Christ. We are the empire, the kingdom that will be built. They've forgotten God, the true God, the one God, whose name is Jesus Christ. How very sad. This is Tex Mars. We've been talking about the unheralded secrets of Judaism and Freemasonry. This has been Volume 2. And by the way, the point within the circle, I never got to that, Jerry. Well, the circle is the universe. Some say it's the sun. And the point is Lucifer. Some say it's man who is governed by the circle, which is the sun, the sun god. There again, Lucifer, the great sun god. But in this book, Magnum Opus, it's taught that the circle is the grand architect. Yes, Lucifer indeed. The lost word. So it can be either man himself or Lucifer, who is his guide. And the circle is the universe. For they believe, like the environmentalists of today, that everything is holy. Except, of course, in their minds, Christianity and Christians. And we are the dirty ones. So say the Masons. We are the sect, the superstition that must be destroyed. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.